Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Roderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians, and today he'll be continuing with part 2 of Serving the Lord Without Distraction, as we turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 25, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Now, concerning virgins, he says, I have no commandment from the Lord. Yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. Now, what Paul's going to talk about here as we go through the rest of the chapter, he's going to talk about married life and single life. And he's going to show the sort of the pros and cons of each thing. Now, of course, the Bible absolutely supports marriage. But yet at the same time, from a practical standpoint and from the standpoint of serving God in distressful conditions, Paul's opinion is that there is some advantage to being single. So he's going to very carefully sort of walk the line between these two things. He wants to assure those that get married that they're not sinning at all. And there is an advantage to the single life. And so Paul's going to address that here. So he's going to give counsel as one who's received mercy from the Lord. He's going to give counsel as a wise, godly man. But he gives room for people to say, well, Paul, that's a great perspective on it, but I'm going to get married. Glad you see it this way. That's interesting. But and Paul says, fine, if that's what you decide. So anyway. He says, I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. Now, he says, but even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, and here's his whole point, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. Trouble in the flesh simply means we're going to have trouble in our natural life experience. And Paul says, what I'm trying to do is spare you from those troubles that will inevitably come in a marital relationship in times of duress. So he says, as we looked at previously, but this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none, and those who weep as though they did not weep, and those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, and those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use this world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. So he says, look, even if you get married, realize that we don't have time to get all entrenched in the things that people normally get entrenched in because not only of the current distress, but because of the inevitability of the Lord's coming, the brevity of life. We talked about that previously. But then he goes on and he says, but I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. So obviously here, a virgin is an unmarried woman. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit, But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. That's what he's pushing for here, serving the Lord without distraction. And of course, there are many distractions that come for the married couple. The man is seeking not only to please the Lord, but got to please my wife. And of course, you introduce children into that, and you've got the obligation, the responsibility for your children. And the wife has got the same thing. And that's all fine. And of course, many, if not most people, are called to serve the Lord in that way. But some people are actually called to serve the Lord without that distraction, like Paul was. Now, whether Paul was married in the past or not, we're not absolutely certain. Like I said, seems like he was. But serving the Lord as a single person, he realized that there were advantages to that. Of course, he didn't have to be worried about his wife. He didn't have to be worried about the family. He didn't have to bear the responsibility for those things. He was free to get up and go when he chose to do so. He was open to any new thing God wanted to do. He could just pretty much get up and go do it. And there's something to that that can be very, very great. You know, when you look in the scripture, you've got the different ministries. You've got the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. The apostles and prophets were generally itinerant. They were not permanently situated in any one place. For the most part, they were the ones that were going out and doing the pioneering. It was the pastors and teachers who were the ones who became the leaders of the local churches, and they were generally pretty well fixed in a community. But the apostolic ministry was a ministry that by its very definition was a pioneering kind of a ministry. Now, some of the apostles were married. In the next chapter, or the ninth chapter, Paul's going to mention the fact that Peter brought his wife along with him on his apostolic adventures. And that's what Peter did. But Paul, he didn't have a wife. And interestingly, later in this epistle, he will talk about the fact that he labored more than the rest of the apostles. And naturally, he could have, because he didn't have those other responsibilities. So he says, but if any man thinks he is behaving improperly toward his virgin, if she is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Now, this is the second or third time Paul said this. So he's really wanting to make it clear. There's no sin at all involved in getting married versus staying single. He does not sin. Let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. And we could add, in my opinion. That's what Paul is saying. In his opinion, the single life was better for serving the Lord. Now, I think that you can get somewhat of a gauge on God's calling in this regard based, you know, to some degree on desire. If you have a deep desire to be married, then it's highly probable that God has called you to that. I don't think the person that's called to the single life spends all of their spare time pining over that person that they wish that they could be married to. The person that's committed to Christ and devoted in the sense of a single life focused on serving the Lord, not to say that they wouldn't maybe occasionally have moments of loneliness or moments of longing, but generally speaking, that wouldn't be the case. You know, it'd be hard to do anything if you just were walking around all the time wishing you were married. The person who's committed like this. You know, Paul wasn't bemoaning the fact that he was single. He was saying, hey, this isn't bad. This is great. There's a lot of advantages to this. And there are some people that God calls to live singly. There have been occasions where some of God's servants, beside Paul and beyond the biblical period, have lived lives of celibacy for the Lord. Just a few years ago, a well-known evangelical leader in Britain passed away. His name was John Stott. Anybody who's a Bible teacher would be familiar with John Stott. I think John was 94, 95 when he passed away finally, but he lived his entire life as a single man, serving the Lord as a single man. I was reading his biography, one of them, a few years ago, and he talked about a brief season where he had a desire. Him and a young woman had, you know, a bit of affection toward one another. But as he weighed the whole thing out, he just felt that based upon his calling, that it would be better for him to refrain from that and to remain single. And he, you know, never got really involved in the relationship anyway, but just removed that from his heart and went on. And this was a person who, you know, then was able to have somewhat of an apostolic ministry all over the world, freed from those kinds of responsibilities. So it does happen today. And if God hasn't put a strong desire in you to be married, and you kind of feel like, you know, I'm okay with being single, I don't feel bad about that. And don't think that's weird. That's fine. It's all right. It can be very good. And God wants to use that singleness. And there are many things that you can do for the Lord that the married person can't do. And I think we need to be, like I said earlier, I think we need to be more encouraging for people like that, and just to let them know that, you know, this is a good thing. It's not anything to be embarrassed about or ashamed of or frustrated over. Just take the time and just see what God will do, what God will do with your life. You never know where he might want to send you. You never know what he might want to do with you. Many, many wonderful things have happened in the kingdom through men and women who have just dedicated themselves to serving the Lord as single people. And again, some it just is a matter of, you know, just not that strong desire there. Some have had occasionally a desire, but just sort of prayed about it or, you know, pushed it back and got beyond it and just kept moving forward. I have known people who have come out of the homosexual lifestyle. People that have kind of lived their life sort of struggling with the same-sex attraction and things like that. And of course, realizing that as believers, they can't engage in that. And they have committed themselves to a life of singleness and to a life of serving God. And just pretty much put that whole aspect of their lives, the sexual aspect, they've just put that on the altar and said, Lord, this is yours. And I'm this life, this body, this heart, this mind is for you. And I'm going to serve you. So, as Paul says here, you get married, you do well. But if you don't, you do even better. Because you can do more. You can serve with less distraction. Now, he says, a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. So for the widow or the widower, free to be married again, but Paul puts this little addition on there, only in the Lord. We are not to knowingly, intentionally marry unbelievers. Of course, you can end up in a marital relationship with an unbeliever, and we've already addressed that. Paul says, if that's where you're at, stay there. You know, we talked about that. But to go out and marry intentionally a person who is not a believer, that is scripturally forbidden. Now, of course, people have done it. People have said, well, you know, I know what the Bible says, but I love this person so much, and they're so wonderful, and I just feel like, you know, God has given me the green light, and they go ahead and do it, and they come back sometimes a few months later, sometimes a few years later, and they say, oh, I wish I would have listened to you. Oh, my goodness. What a mess. What a nightmare. Why? Because you've got two totally incompatible people when it comes to the most important thing in the world, which is your spiritual life. And when you can't share your spiritual life, which is, for the believer, the most important aspect of your life, this becomes very difficult and very challenging. And that's the best case scenario. The worst case, of course, is you end up with somebody who becomes hostile towards your faith and somebody who doesn't want you to follow the Lord. They don't want you to go to church. They don't want you to read the Bible. They don't want to have anything to do with that. They might have initially said, oh, it's fine. No, I'm okay with that. You know, hey, I'm a Christian too. Now, I've said this before, but I'll just say it one more time. You know, if you have any suspicion about the person you're dating, if you're not absolutely certain that this person is fully committed to Christ, you shouldn't be in that relationship. And why do I say that? Because I can't tell you how many times people are in relationships. They come to me with issues, with questions. I always ask the question, now, is this person a believer? Well, I think they are. You think they are? Well, you need to more than think they are. You need to know they are. Well, you know, they believe in God. Hey, that's not it. Lots of people believe in God. And that translates into whatever you want God to be, generally. No. Are they born again? Have they received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Do they have the marks of a Christian? Do they love the Lord? Are they passionate about the things of God? Are they anxious to be in fellowship? Are they desirous to open the Word of God? Are they inclined to prayer? Are they obviously spiritual people? That's what you want to look for. So you don't want to have that, well, I think they are, thing going. Because, again, you want to be in a situation that's going to be most conducive for the further development of your spiritual life, and that's going to be with another person who is spiritual as well, so that you can build one another up in the faith. So, Paul says that the widow can be remarried only in the Lord, but then he says this, and this is where you sort of get a hint that Paul himself might have been a widow. He says, but she is happier if she remains as she is according to my judgment. Now, it's almost like Paul is speaking that from experience. I know from experience. It almost sounds like he's saying that. According to my judgment, that might have been the very situation that he himself was in. She is happier. Now, again, in closing, he finally says, and I think I also have the Spirit of God. So, Paul is saying, these things are my opinion as a godly, seasoned man. I'm not speaking with the absolute apostolic authority here. But this is what I think, based upon what I know of the Lord, based upon what I know of life, this is my opinion. So as we apply it, again, what's his whole objective? His whole objective is to say, whatever your situation is, married or single, don't get distracted with the world. Those that are married, he says, it's time to live as though you're not married. Doesn't mean that you're irresponsible, doesn't mean that you don't fulfill your commitment to your spouse and all of that. It just means that the things that naturally bog things down spiritually because of marriage, he says, Be freed from those things. It's kind of like he would say to Timothy, no man engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. So it's kind of, you know, the analogy he's using there is a military versus civilian. When we come to Christ, we're no longer civilians, so to speak. We're now in the military in the sense that we've been enlisted into the Lord's service. And so when somebody's enlisted into the military, they have obligations to the military. They have a distinct life from a civilian. And that's kind of the same thing that Paul's saying here. As a married couple, those things that would naturally be a distraction, he says, work at not letting those things distract you. You know, sometimes we get more caught up in the American dream than the biblical vision of life. Oh, we've got to have a home. We've got to have X amount of dollars in the bank. We've got to have a couple of cars, you know. Hey, if those things come your way, fine. But, you know, do we have to have those things? If we have to have them, and if we're striving to get them to the point that we're being distracted from our spiritual lives, then we're doing the thing that Paul said not to do. Not everybody has to own a home. God might call you, go live in an apartment. Just pay rent. Minister to the couple hundred people in the complex. That'll be your mission field. Something like that. But, you know, quite often, and I remember as a younger pastor and at a time, you know, with a lot of young families in our church, people would just up and move because, well, we could go, you know, we can get a house for half the price out in this part of the state or in another state, and we're packing up and we're going to get that dream house. And I would always say, okay, well, that's fine, but do you got a church you're going to? You're planning to get plugged in? You know, we didn't think about that. That should be the first thing you're thinking about. So, living life without distraction. If you're single, take advantage of your singleness for the kingdom of God. Use it for the Lord. Make yourself available. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Use me. And if you're ultimately destined to get married, make yourself available as a single person. God might send you to some other part of the world because your mate is over there waiting for you to get there. That's happened lots of times. I know people that were committed to the single life and they went on the mission field and they ended up married. But that might not happen. It might just be that you're going to go there and God's going to use you in a way. So let's do all that we can do to serve the Lord without distraction. That's the point.
We'll return with more valuable insights from our study of the Bible in our next lesson. And we do hope you make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Serving the Lord Without Distraction. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0202. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBrodersen and on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBrodersen. For those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archive messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com. Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.